Jesus came into a situation that was very, very dear to two people, Mary and Martha. Their precious brother, Jesus' friend and companion, support in the ministry, Lazarus, have died. There he died and was dead for several days. They had sent for Jesus, and seemingly that Jesus wouldn't come, or was coming, but not when they wanted him to. It's easy to accept the acceptance of death. It's easy to accept a new normal, so you think is a new normal. It's easy to accept what we deem as an impossibility of change. It was easy to accept in some form that Jesus wouldn't come. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that they accepted that?" Well, because they went ahead and buried Jesus, or buried Lazarus. You know the story as well as I do. They beckoned Jesus to come, and Jesus didn't come when they thought him. And the Bible says that Jesus wept in verse 35. Jesus wept because he had compassion towards their situation. Have you ever thought about a loving God that we serve, that he would actually weep over a situation that you or I would be going through? The Bible says that he prayed for us. He prays for his disciples. Let me just tell you that it does move the heart of God when you're burdened and hurting inside. He loves his children, not just outside of the realm of wrong. He loves you when you're wrong. Not outside the realm of hurting. He loves you when you're hurting. Not outside the realm of despair or discouragement, but he loves you in that. He loves you in that. Not outside the realm of death, but inside the realm of death. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me." The criteria for freedom in this passage of Scripture is that they were told to remove the stone away. Remove the stone away. They had to physically remove the stone away after they had buried Lazarus. He'd been dead for 4 days, and they went ahead and buried him. Had a funeral service, however they did it back then, and they put him in a cleft in the rock and rolled a stone over the door, and he was done. Closed deal, the new normal. Closed deal, an acceptance of death. Closed deal, an impossibility accepted. But then Jesus showed up after the fact. He showed up after the situation was closed, after it was accepted as the new normal. Because God doesn't want death to have the authority. God doesn't want the impossibility to have the authority. God doesn't want the discouragement, the darkness to be an authority in our lives. Amen. He is the authority. He is the life, and he is light, and he is love. And the Bible says in him there is no darkness at all in Jesus. So if you're living in a cloud of darkness this morning, let me encourage you that Jesus is the opposite of that cloud of darkness. The criteria for freedom was to remove the stone that was shutting him in. Others had to remove the stone. He couldn't remove it himself. Lazarus couldn't get out his own self. The Bible says that Jesus spoke his name, Lazarus. We know that he spoke his name because if he said, "Come forth," and everybody that was around that area would have come forth. Because he is the resurrection and the life. But he spoke his name as Jesus has spoke your name time and time and time again. over and over and again mentioned your name to you and told you to come forth. But before that took place, others had to remove the stone. You know, I think most of the time we're on the inside, Papa, holding on to that stone of death and despair and darkness and discouragement and holding it down, resisting the freedom that God is wanting to give us. The criteria for freedom is to remove the stone of darkness, despair, discouragement, and doubt. Don't doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Darkness is a temporary thing. It came to pass. We're winners either way. The cry of deliverance is when God called the name. Your name. Let me tell you, if you can hear Him calling your name, you're in a good place. If He's speaking to you, you're in a good place. Don't matter where you're at. God calling your name. The name, the cry of deliverance. In the Bible says in Psalms 78, 41, the Bible says that Israel limited the Holy God, Holy One of Israel. They limited. In that word limiting, I looked it up. The word limit means to draw a line. It means two things. To draw a line, and that would be the finish line. That would not necessarily the finish line. God, our finish line, most of the time, is God's starting line. Your finish line is probably God's starting line. If you're done with you, if you're done with your mess, if you're done with your attitude, that's a good place to be. Then God can take it from there if you'll give it to Him. If you're done with trying to be saved on your own, trying to have good works to get you to heaven, trying to find enough faith, muster it up on your own to do right, try to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, right? That's a good place. If you're finished, you just, I'm done. That's a good place to be. Then turn it over to God now and let God take it from there. Israel limited to the Holy One of Israel. They drew a line and said, all right, God, you've been good to us long enough. You brought us this far. You carried us to this point. You supplied our needs to this point. Now we got it from here. We're in Canaan land now. We got the land flowing with milk and honey. We got your promises. We're inhabited, enjoying every day. We got peace in our heart, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. We got, amen. We got everything we need, God. We're fine from here. Let me tell you, you still need God today as much as you ever had needed God before in your life, and even more today than you did yesterday. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That was like a line drawn. They went with God so far. Then that was it. It's all right, God, that's enough. That's how we are. Ain't that how we are? I mean, we're fixing to have revival tomorrow night and Tuesday and Wednesday, God willing. And I want to experience God. I want to experience revival. But this is what God's laid on my heart to encourage us today. Hey, to erase the line. Don't put a line in front of God. And the other definition is a border, like you put perimeters on God. Amen. That's the perimeter of east, north, south, east, and west, which you can't perimeter God. Man should not perimeter God. I know we cannot perimeter God. God works outside of boundaries and over lines. But for your life, for your church, for your family, we draw a borderline. And we say, God, all right, that's far enough. And then we accept the death. We accept the despair. We accept the doubt. We accept the discouragement. And the whole time, God is standing outside of the stone, calling our name. Am I right about it? One of the definitions of limiting is restraining. Because you know you can't, and I know this may sound foreign to you when I say this, because I know God's unrestrainable, but for you, you restrain God. We restrain God, and we hold God back. And then we bound up God. In other words, we hold Him back from His will in our life. Wasted years, wasted time. Somebody with me? Restraining God is a dangerous thing. Because restraint only comes when the strength is pulled in two different directions and you're pulling in opposite directions from God. Restraining His motion, restraining His direction, restraining His guiding, restraining His pull. And sooner or later, God just says, okay. Okay, I get you. Remember when the Bible says that they resisted the Holy Ghost? That's why if God's knocking on your heart's door to get saved and you keep telling Him no, or to get right and you keep telling Him no, or do something that He knows that you know He wants you to do and you keep telling Him no and you keep telling Him no, friend, that's a dangerous thing because God will let up. He'll quit trying to pull you across the line.
Right.
He'll just leave you in that spot. Then you'll be inside the tomb, the stone will be rolled away, and the aroma of death will be in the air. People go with God so far, then seem to tell God that they've had enough. I'm not crossing that line. People also put boundaries upon God's work in their personal life. But let me tell you this. Churches put boundaries on the work of God within the church. We bind, we think that this ain't happened, that ain't happened, and this is going like this, and this is happening over here. So evidently, God's bound. No, the only person that can bind God up for you is you. Not what somebody else has done. You'll never stand before God and give an account of other people's actions outside of your involvement in their life and what you have been instrumental in. What I'm trying to tell you is you can't change people. You can't help what other people do. And you can't, you will not give account for what other people do. But you'll stand before God for yourself and you'll give account. God's not restrained by other people's actions in your life. Not in your life. That's the devil's trick. He put you in a tomb. He hid you in a tomb. I mean, he put you in there and he's closing the door on you. He's saying, it's over. It's a new now. It's a new normal. And God's all the time saying, remove the stone. Remove the stone. I'll call your name. Remove the stone. I'll call you out. I'm telling you this morning, God wants to call us out. Call us out of our despair. Call us out of the rut. Call us out of our weakness. Call us out of our apathy. Call us out. Call it out of death. God's calling out. I believe it. He's come. He said. He called. He said, "Come forth and come out." That's what he said. Verse number 43. Come forth, Lazarus. Come forth. This is not a reminder of the past, but this is God opening the grave to bring life and victory. Come out of it. Come out of it. You see, listen to me. Lazarus was dead. 4 days. What did Mary and Martha say? What are you doing here? Jesus, what do you come, the resurrection, what do you mean resurrection? He stinks now. He's already dead. Surely by now he stinketh. Don't remind me of death. Don't remind me of despair. Don't remind me we're through that. We're trying to get over this. We're trying to get through it. Hey, don't remind me, what are you doing, Jesus, bringing it back up? Can I tell you this morning why Jesus is bringing it back up over and over and over and over again in our life? Because he wants to call us out of it. And in order for true victory to happen in our life, he's got to call us out. And so, don't look at it. Well, it's just God just all the time reminding me of who I was and what I'm struggling with. No, he's trying to show you life and show you freedom. Somebody help me. That's the Lord. He's calling them out. Bring it to God. Let God have it. Bring it to God. Let God have it. Lazarus, come forth. It says, that which was dead got up. That which was dead got up. Amen. I mean, it don't matter if it was the Spirit of God. You know, what is dead in your life, church? What is dead? Let me tell you, God's calling us out. He said, get up! Get up! Lazarus! Get up! Come out of there, man. God's not dead. He's alive and well. And He's calling our name. He's calling this church's name. Even though God called them out, the Bible says in verse 44, it says, and he that was dead come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound with a napkin. I guess he hopped out, or he just slid out. I don't know how it happened. I wasn't there, but it had to be supernatural. I said it had to be supernatural for him to come from where he was to where Jesus was to where he was to where Jesus was. His voice went to him and pulled him out. Yes. But he was still, listen to this, he was still wrapped up. I said he was still wrapped up. He still was bound. He still couldn't see. He still couldn't move. He still couldn't walk. He still couldn't be who God wanted him to be because he had death clothes on. Amen. He could have accepted that. He said, look, why'd you call me up from the dead? I was comfortable. I was where I'm at. Nobody talked to me. Nobody bothered me. I know it was quiet in there. It was dark in there. I was all alone. It was cold, I know. Hey, but nobody was bothering me. Just leave me alone. Let me die where I'm at. Let me stay dead. I think that's a lot of churches across this country. They're trying so many things to bring life when what we really need is a true revival and repentance. And prayer at the old-fashioned altar. And repentant of sins. God will call us out. God's calling us out. But we're still bound up. This is what the Lord showed me about this bounding up thing. The bounding up is because he's not free. The Bible says, look at the words, the last part of verse 44. Loose him. And let him go. Loose him. Loose him and let him go. Listen, they acted on God's command. And I believe that's important in our life, to be spiritually led. Be led by the Spirit. If you're involved in helping someone else come out of a dark place in their life, be careful. Be careful. But God may use you. And God will use you, if you'll let Him, to unwrap some grave clothes, some wrap some things over their eyes, some wraps around their feet to give them mobility to go on. And for God, God may use you. And that's what I'm saying. God wants to use this church. Amen. God wants to use every one of you here, hey, to help unwrap some grave clothes that someone had wrapped somebody up and they're placed in a place of death and they've accepted the new normal and God's called them out, but they don't know what to do. And God's called a church of the living God or a personal Christian, an exhorter, an encourager, hey, to reach down to unwrap and loosen him. Someone else was instrumental in loosening Lazarus from his grave clothes. And he let them. I said he let them. Could you imagine the excitement? Taking the wrap off of the highs. Say it's going to be bright. I know you ain't seen God in a while. I know you ain't felt God in a while. I know you ain't witnessed God in a while. I know it's going to be bright. It's going to be different from your discouragement. Different from your despair. Different from your darkness. But friend, it'll be the best thing you ever did when God opens your eyes. Amen. Eyes were open. Lazarus saw Jesus. The one he heard. He recognized his name. He knew that name, that voice Lazarus knew the voice of Jesus. Could you imagine the excitement that probably Lazarus had? I thought it was over. I thought God was done with me. I thought my life was in. They had placed me. Everybody else buried me. Everybody else gave up. Everybody else closed the door. Everybody else threw me to side. Everybody else put me in the grave. Everybody threw a stone over me and gave up on me. But I heard Jesus calling my name. And I knew that voice. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm about to have a fit. Oh, I thank God I heard the voice before. I know the one that's calling me. And I love this song. I love the name of Jesus. There is a name. I love to hear. I love to hear. Could Lazarus probably would write it? Can I write Lazarus say, hey preacher, could I rewrite that just one word? I'd like to change the name to the voice. I love the voice. I love to hear. Huh? There is a voice I love to hear. He's calling my name. He called me out of darkness. He called me out of death. That's what He did when He saved you. You remember when He saved you? You remember when God saved you? You remember the love of God flowed in your heart and all of heaven came down and flooded your soul, forgave you of every sin you ever created, ever did in your life, cleansed you from top of your head to the bottom of your feet, from the age that you was in the cannibal of your sins to the moment you got saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, washed your sins away. What a day that was. But life wraps you up. But people wrap you up. Circumstances wrap you up and put you in that grave. I'm telling you, God's called your name out. Let others help unwrap you. Jesus said two things. Loose him. And that wasn't all. Don't just loose him. But let him go. Let him go. Don't hem him up. Don't chain him up. Don't bind him up. Don't put the line. Don't limit him. Don't limit him. Don't put a line in front of him. Don't draw a border around him. Don't draw obstacles around him. Don't put roadblocks in front of him. Just let him go. Let him go. Let him. I know they don't have it all right, but let him go. I don't know. I know they don't have it all figured out, but let him go. I know they don't understand it all, but let him go. I know they have different things, but let him go. I know they don't wear the clothes you have, but let him go. I know they don't live it like you and look at it like you and read it like you and sing it like you and do like you do. My friend, let him go. Let him go. Amen. Jesus said, let loose him and let him go. Hey, when Jesus says, you're free to go. Huh? Y'all ever been in jail? Y'all ever been locked up in some situation where you couldn't go nowhere? And finally you got the freedom. And they say, well, you're free to go. Huh? Somebody help me now. How many of y'all remember when Jesus said you're free to go? Hey, you're free to go. Can I tell you this morning, if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and God has called you out of the tomb of darkness and despair and you have been helped to loosen some chains in your life and loosen some grave clothes around you, can I remind you that God is not restraining you? Hey, the death does not have a hold on you and darkness can't overcome you and God is proclaiming to you, let you go, 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 serve God, sing another song, preach another message, live another mile, amen. Go on, let him go for God. Let you go, amen. God's not restraining you, not to Himself, not to holiness. He restrains you from the world, restrains you from sin, but not to live for Him. There's no limit with God. America's not the border, amen. Amen. I thank God for worldwide vision. And I've been praying about that and God helping, showing me and helping us with missions and stuff like that. I thank God for that. God's not bound to our church. God's not bound to your house. God's not bound to Calico Rock. God's not bound to Arkansas. Amen. Amen. There's no boundaries with the gospel. Loosen and let him go. They had freedom. They worshiped. And then they celebrated. The next chapter, Jesus is sitting in Lazarus and Mary Martha's house eating. And fellowshipping. And then Martha anoints his feet with her tears. Oh, what a lovely worship time. Loose him and let him go. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus is crying, calling. Loose him and let him go. Loose him. Religion got a hold of you? Loose him. Self-righteousness got a hold of you? Loose him. Sin got a hold of you? Loose him. Amen. Prestige has got a hold of you? Loose him. Pride got a hold of you? Loose him. Self-esteem? Loose him. Inadequacy? Loose him. Inability? Loose him. Amen. Anything that you can't do, God said, loose him and let him go. What does God want to unloose in your life and unwrap in your life and let you go? We only got one life to live. Let me encourage you. Get some wind of God behind you and live for God. Sail out for God. Amen. Pull up the anchors. Amen. And sail. Put the wind of God in your sail. Don't look back. Don't look to the left. Don't look for the right. Don't let nobody put their cold, deaf hands on you. Amen. Don't let the religion put a cold, deaf grip on you. Amen. They'll choke you out. Hey, put your praise back in your mouth. Amen. Put a song back in your heart. Amen. Hey, put rejoicing back in your lips. Amen. Stand up straight and tall by the good grace of a holy God. And thank Him for freedom. Thank Him for freedom. Loose Him and let Him go. That's what He said. God help us, I pray. God touch our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I've done what God said to do. Y'all respond to what God wants you to do. Stir our hearts, God. God, stir our hearts.